We're live.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the August 11th, 2025 meeting of the University City City Council to order. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay.
Present.
Councilmember Thiemann.
Present.
Councilmember Brenner.
Present.
Councilmember Fuller.
Present.
Councilmember Smotherson. Present. Mayor Crow.
Here. Before you, you have the agenda. I believe we had one request for a change. Am I correct, Ms. Brenner?
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I would like to amend the agenda and move the Pershing Avenue project to, I think, city manager's reports. Okay. Thank you.
Is there a second? There's a second by Councilmember Thiemann. We have before us a request to amend the agenda to move K5 down to L, what would be L3. Hearing no discussion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. You now have before you an amended agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended? Made by Councilmember Smotherson, seconded by Councilmember Thiemann. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no proclamations. You have before you the regular minute meeting minutes of July 14th, 2025. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Councilmember Fuller, seconded by Councilmember Brenner. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. Oh, I'm sorry. Councilmember Smotherson, your mic is not on, just so you know.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Crow. I am abstaining. I was not at the meeting, so.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. McMahon is not here at the present time, but will likely join us later on. In his stead, I would nominate Lorraine Hale to be on the senior commission. Is there a second? Seconded by Councilmember Thiemann. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. I would like to appoint Jane Schaefer to the Arts and Letters Commission. Is there a second? Seconded by Councilmember Thiemann. Well, I did the second. I apologize. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to nominate Hope Horn for appointment to the Arts and Letters Commission.
Is there a second? Seconded by Councilmember Smotherson. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Please note that Ivy Jackson Davis was sworn into the Senior Commission and Shannon McDonald was sworn into the Pension Board. We now are at the first section of citizen participation. For those of you who may have walked in, there are sign-up sheets over by the door. Please fill them out. This is for people who want to speak on non-agenda items. Otherwise, if you're on an agenda item, we will have you speak when that agenda item is called forward. When you fill out the form, just please tell us what you'd like to speak on. When you come to the microphone, please hit the button at the bottom and the green light will come on. Please give your name and address and limit your comments to 5 minutes. The first request to speak is Tom Sullivan.
Tom Sullivan, 751 Syracuse. At the May 12th council meeting this year, I brought up the issue of streetlight poles missing covers for the electrical connections. These are at the bottom in what are called the handholes. This is where the light can be hooked up to a main electrical line. The cover goes over the opening in the poles. These can be dangerous situations without the covers as they provide protection from the high voltage wires. On some covers, it states, danger, high voltage. Years back, a 7-year-old boy was electrocuted in the city when he became curious about the wires and wanted the streetlight poles that lacked a cover. The editor of the Post-Dispatch at the time wrote a scathing column titled, Shrugging Off a Child's Death. He called the death an intolerable disgrace to the community. At the July 14th meeting, I again addressed the council about the missing protectors. The city put tape around one of the streetlight poles but left three others. Since the meeting, one of the poles had tape put around it, but I found another pole with a missing protector. That leaves three poles without protectors that I know of. In front of 739 Westgate, the southwest corner of Leland and Clemens, and in front of 6840 Vernon. The missing or damaged protectors are on poles I just happened to see when out walking. It has to be assumed that there are others. Excuse me. Also, there continues to be streetlights out the city as the city manager refuses to do his job. As I mentioned months ago, there is a streetscape light out at Olive and Kingsland. Across the street, there are three lights out, which causes a patch of darkness at night. As Chief Holmes says in his website message, adequate lighting deters potential criminal activity. On Chamberlain, just east of Kingsland, another light is out. Street light is out on Loop North at the alley by Heeman. Another light is out at Midland. There are lights out on Olive, west of Pennsylvania. As far as I'm concerned, it's the city manager's job to see the lights are all working, not citizens. If there's a light out on Olive, a citizen can hardly be expected to pull over and read the tag with a flashlight while cars are whizzing by at 60 miles an hour. On some poles, the tag is 20 feet up from the ground. Should a citizen be expected to take a ladder out to get a tag number? The city manager is paid nearly $200,000 a year. There is also a deputy city manager, department directors, and 10 city inspectors, three of whom are paid more than $80,000 a year. Something is wrong if all these people combined are unable to keep the streetlights working. Dumpsters with damage or no lids continue to be a problem. In addition to being untidy, it's a health issue, especially when it rains. It's difficult to understand why this isn't corrected. The alley behind All Saints on Clemens points out that problem and others. One dumpster has no lids. One dumpster has damaged lids. There are tree branches that need to be picked up, and there's about 20 feet of electrical wire hanging down from a pole. Presumably, it's dead wire. Also, there are still a pile of branches on Cates by Westgate that need to be picked up. They seem to be the results of the tornado. I told the city manager about them around July 1st and mentioned them again at the July 14th council meeting. Also, you might have seen where County Executive Sam Page was indicted on four charges related to unlawfully spending public money on a ballot measure. This is the same thing the city did with Proposition F and what the school district did with Proposition U. Maybe you should all consult criminal defense attorneys. You may need one. Thank you for listening to my comments.
Thank you very much. Our next request to speak on a non-agenda item is Zachary Finkelstein.
Hi, Zachary Finkelstein. I live at 7532 Liberty Avenue. Just noticed on the entry this evening into the basement area, we have several newcomers that didn't know where to go. I would request some additional signage maybe on the front door where people were checking to see if they could enter that way. Maybe one at the elevator or the stairs saying something about the fifth floor. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next request to speak of I believe on a non-agenda item is Carl Chibulka.
My name is Carl Chibulka. I live at 1421 Coolidge Drive in the Third Ward. And I'm here to complain about a block party that was allowed, I believe on August the 1st or 2nd. It was a Saturday night. And as a pretext, I would like to inform you all that I had received on my doorstep a notice of a leaflet saying, please do not park in front of your house on such and such a date. We are having a block party. This was about 5 months ago. And I took the flyer down to the city manager and I says, why are they allowed to close off a street and put up a bench or a chairs and table in front of my house and stop the traffic for a block party? And he said, well, they had a petition. And I said, oh, could I see the petition? And there was like five or six names. And anyway, what happened was nothing. It was a big embarrassment. Nobody came to the block party. They set up their benches, their chairs in the street. And nobody came. We come to today. And August the 2nd or 1st, there was a block party at Kemplin and Coolidge, and it was huge. There was over 100 cars up and down my street, Templin, all the way over onto Woodson. I didn't go across the bridge to go to see if there was where the, but there was over 200 people at this one intersection of Coolidge and Templin. And there was, to boot, on top of that, about a dozen muscle cars. And the men were, or people were driving the cars. And they couldn't go anywhere because there was over 100 people in the street. In the street. And they were revving their engines. They were screeching the tires. They were playing a loud stereo. There was a lot of alcohol. There was a lot of glass bottles. I brought them here tonight, but they would not allow me to bring them up here. They said no glass bottles. I brought them here to show you after the party was over. I shouldn't leave out the fact that I called 911 and I said, there is a huge number of people in the street and the cars are blocking the street and nobody can move anywhere that lives on either Kemplin or Coolidge. And the 911 operator said, oh, but they have a permit. And I says, ma'am, this is clearly illegal. If you were here, you would not be defending them. And they says, oh, it'll be done by 10 o'clock tonight. And so I called downstairs at the UCity police dispatcher. And I said, can you guys do something about it? And he says, what do you want me to do about it? And I says, well, I don't know what you can do about it, but can you do something? Said an officer, he says, we've got officers there. And I would just like to say that I do not think the city manager is doing his job. I feel strongly that he only represents blacks and rich, and he leaves the rest to fend for themselves. I am beside words on my feelings towards the job that he is doing and allowing things to go on by his only signature. He's allowed block parties to continue in my neighborhood, closing off the streets. And I think it's very, very unjust. Thank you all.
Are there any other requests to speak on non-agenda items? Okay. We'll now move forward with, since there are no other requests to speak on that issue, on non-agenda items, we will move forward. Are there any council? I believe he wants to speak on an agenda item. So we have no public, are there any council comments? Hearing none, we have no public hearing. You have before you now the consent agenda with items 1, 2, 3, and 4. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Motion made by Council Member Clay. Is there a second? Seconded by Council Member Fuller. We do have one request to speak by a citizen on this particular agenda item, and that is Mr. Frank Ohlendorf.
Frank Ohlendorf, 8128 Cornell, U City, 63130. I'd like to speak on a consent calendar item. Do you have to remove it from the consent calendar before I can speak?
You're welcome to speak to this matter.
My request is that on the item establishing the economic development retail sales tax budget for this fiscal year, delete the mannequin event and and add to that budget $2.4 million to complete the shaded, lighted sidewalks on Olive from Skinker to I-170. That's the project that your predecessor city council 20 years ago promised the voters would be their first priority when they asked the voters to approve this economic development retail sales tax. First priority was streetscape on Olive. The voters responded with a 3-to-1 favorable vote from the third ward, which is primarily affected. Probably the highest vote on any city issue on record. It would be ludicrous if we'd gone to those citizens and said, our first priority is a mannequin project. It would have been voted down 10-to-1. So I'm asking that you go back and substitute the Olive Streetscape construction project, which we promised the voters, substitute that for the mannequin project. The second comment is that the amount of money budgeted for administration and personnel exceeds the maximum allowed by state law for economic development retail sales tax, 20%. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was our only request to speak on consent agenda items 1, 2, 3, and 4. Hearing no further discussion, no questions from council members. All those in favor of approving the consent agenda, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and council members, under item L1, I would ask for Dr. Wagner to come forward and provide you with an update on the buyout program. Dr. Wagner.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Good evening, Mayor, council members. We've made a fair amount of progress, I think, on both grants. There were two grants for the flood buyout, the FMA flood mitigation assistance and the HMGP's hazard mitigation grant program. We received two bids for the project manager duties, and that was due a week or two ago, and we are looking at one of them, but we're also making sure that we adhere to the advertising requirements. We're following the state procurement guidelines because they're more strict than the city guidelines. So the folks at CEMA today said we're to make sure that we followed the state guidelines, and we believe we did. I'm going to send an email to them tomorrow with a follow-up on what we actually did for that to confirm in writing that we did indeed do that. If that is the case, which I think it will be, then I think one of the two bids that we got, I think we can look at. There are some complicated factors that are that we need to look at as well, but we are moving forward with that. And in the meantime, we've also established through the with working with the purchasing manager, by the way, in finance, she's been a tremendous help. Some of the kind of a template for future RFPs for title work, appraisals, environmental work, and so on and so forth. So we got a good template for those down. So I think we made a fair amount of progress the last couple of weeks. Be happy to answer any questions.
Dr. Wagner, what's been the communication with the flood victims?
I talked to Hannah Brick. I emailed her. She emailed last night asking what was going on. And so I responded to her late this afternoon as soon as I knew the latest. And as soon as I hear tomorrow what we're going to be doing with some of the questions we have left, I'll email everyone out there. I talked to a couple of folks last week as well who emailed or actually called and had some questions. So I've been talking to them intermittently through the process.
So is everything at this time operational or administrative issues and not funding issues? Do we have concerns of funding, or is this all administrative and paperwork?
As far as I know, it is. Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other questions from members of council? Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Fuller.
Thank you, Mayor. Let's assume this all goes well. Do we have a projected date when this might get rolling, like 1st of October, 1st of November?
Probably closer to winter, I think. Okay. One of the folks that we're seriously looking at, their firm has a lot of experience doing this. So just going to say, here, have at it. And then the title work appraisals and so on will get going, and hopefully it'll pick up pace from there.
Follow-up question.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a projected number of properties that this will settle on?
They've SEMA's been very adamant that we make sure we let everybody know it's a strictly voluntary thing until they actually say, okay, I'm going to do it. So we have 12 single family homes, and then the Hafner Court apartments are part of this. Any one of them can say, no, I don't want to do it. Any one of them will refuse the offer, that is, from FEMA, or they can refuse it, rather.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and council members, this next item, item L2, asks that you authorize us to contract with Navigate. Navigate will provide owners representative services for the design and construction of the driving range at Ruth Park Golf Course. I have Deputy City Manager Brooke Smith with us tonight to respond to any questions that you might have. Ms. Smith. Ms. Sharp.
Good evening. And I also have representatives from Navigate present in case there are some questions that I cannot answer. As a brief summary, you all know that we had some of the dirt from the Marketed Olive development transferred to the driving range. However, it was not properly graded or elevated. The driving range has been closed for some time. So this would be the first step in us getting that project back online and back active. We're proposing that Navigate represent us throughout the entire process from design through completion of the work. The total cost for both, which would procurement and pre-construction and then construction services, is $71,000 total, which would come from the Capital Improvement Fund. The procurement and pre-construction process is estimated to take about 8 months. The construction process is estimated to take about 5 months. So if approved tonight, we're looking at about 13 months before, obviously give or take, but 13 months before the driving range could be completed, assuming everything goes in order and perfectly. So with that, I can take any questions. And again, Navigate is present to answer questions as well.
Correct. I guess one question, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but so the driving range will have been closed by next October for close to 2 years?
I am not 100% sure on that. I'll defer to the city.
I believe that's accurate.
And I know we have a request to speak, but is there no way to hurry this up? I mean, no offense, but this is like, what is it, death by 1,000 cuts or something? This project has been something else. So I'll leave it at that. Before we go any further, is there a motion to, we need to have a motion on the floor to have a discussion. Is there a motion to approve the contract? That's all your motion by Councilmember Clay, seconded by Councilmember Fuller. Councilmember Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. So can you kind of break down, I think from myself and those in the audience, what exactly Navigate will be doing that would be different from what we weren't necessarily able to do?
So they, similar to the Annex Trinity renovation, they will serve as our project manager. Essentially, with the staffing that we have, we don't really have we have an engineer on board, but obviously, you know, she has a number of projects under her belt. So this would allow us to have someone that can focus 100% on the project. And they'd represent us and assist us in the bid process, the design process, handle any issues as they arise. Same thing that they do for the current renovation that we have. And again, I can certainly have either Craig or David come up to speak more to how what their role would look like in the process.
Hi, good evening. Craig Schiller with Navigate Building Solutions. So yeah, you did a great job answering. We ultimately would be solely focused on this project. We understand the urgency. The reason of the longer schedule is we anticipate we'll have to go through the whole process with MSD. And because of the biobasins that need to be reworked, because of some of the erosion and the grading, that process is 6 months by itself. So we are going to, once we help you all procure a design team through the state statute process, by the time you issue an RFQ, make the review, do interviews, and ultimately bring it back to you all, that's a two-month process by itself, just procuring a design team following state statute process. Then we go through the design MSD process. That's another 6 months. So we're going to be doing all the estimates and constantly finding ways to go as quicker if we can. So we'll do some early conceptual reviews with MSD, try to come up with strategies to go faster because we understand the urgency. We'll then bid it out to various contractors, and then we'll manage all the construction process, doing all the meetings, quality assurance, reviewing the pay applications, mitigating risk for you all, ultimately being your advocate on this project and protecting your interests.
So, and thank you for that. So just so I'm clear, we can't leverage the work that's already been done, i.e. the MSD work. I'm sure something has been done there because the project did start, and perhaps I'm mistaken, but to the mayor's point, it's just, I'm just curious about that.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, I think every opportunity we have to leverage the work that has already been accomplished, we'll intend to do that. The reason that the driving range is closed now, there is the belief that it's because of the dirt. That's part and partial. Driving lane range was going to close because of the erosion problems. Prior work that was done there was done incorrectly. And so it resulted in severe ruts that were in there. So we're going to end up needing to close the driving range anyway and actually conduct the work properly that's needed so that we don't run into this same position again in 2-3 years.
Councilmember Brenner.
Thank you, Mayor. Do you have experience with driving ranges, or are you going to be like looking for a designer that does?
So I specifically do not have experience with driving ranges, but we have extensive experience with grading projects, especially with erosion issues, also working with MSD biobasins. So we did the Brentwood Bound flood mitigation project. So that's essentially what this is. You know, this is a grading erosion MSD type project, which we have extensive experience in. We will not be the civil engineer on the project. We will go through the state statute process, assisting you all with procuring that civil engineer that will also have experience in this type of project to support you all. And then we'll manage that process with all our expertise.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember Smotherson.
Oh, thank you, Mayor Crowe. Just a quick question, and this goes along with the point that the mayor has made, and that's the length of time that we've had this closed. Mm-hmm. And so in looking over this information, it may not be a question for you, but for the city manager, post-construction services are not included within this task order. And the only thing that bothers me or worries me about that is that there isn't that. Can you guarantee that there won't be any other delays to the finish date of October 31, 2026? Because if Navigate isn't part of the post-construction services, are we sure we can finish this and get this done without any delays, if you understand?
Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Smothers, part of the reason for bringing on Navigate has to do with we don't know what we don't know. And so we'll need to dive into the issues of erosion. Also, they'll need to advise us on the grading. Our major changes that are needed are, is there minor changes that are needed? We just simply don't have the staff on board that has the skill set to make that call. And that, so that's one of the main reasons that we're asking them. You know, I've learned a long time ago that you can never guarantee anything with a construction project when it deals with timing. There are just too many variables, whether resources that are needed and so forth. But what I can assure you is that this is a very high priority for us, getting the driving range back up and operating. And I think that is evident that, you know, this item is being brought to you, that we're trying to make real efforts into to having that amenity available for our residents again.
Any other questions from members of council? We do have a request to speak from a citizen, so I'd like to give him his opportunity to speak. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next request to speak is Jim Rolfing.
Yeah, my name is Jim Rolfing. I live at 840 Berwick Drive, 63132. I'm here to talk about this, the driving range. One of the big issues I have is that I've been told and talked to members of the staff at Ruth Park and been talking to them for years because I've been playing golf there for 30 years. I play their golf there all the time. They had no idea what was going on. You'd ask them what's happening. Nobody told them. Nobody knew. They don't know anything about it. I've been hearing, oh, well, there was erosion problems. Ruth Park's golf course was, the driving range was redone about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe a little longer. They wrote it again. So they knew that that's an erosion issue. And I'm looking at some, I went back to 19 when it first got done, they knew there were erosion issues. This is in a thing from back in 2008. They talked about the driving range with runoff problems and erosion issues. This is all known. And now everybody's going, well, we didn't know this was a problem. Well, here's one of the big issues. I've been told, and I've never gotten an answer from anybody from the city, according to the people I've talked to, that the golf course driving range was taking in about $350,000 a year gross. Now, that's what I've been told. I've never heard anybody tell me that's not true. So now you're saying you're going to spend $71,000. So you're already out 350 grand, and now we're going to spend $71,000 in 13 months from now. I think that was the, wasn't that the estimate, 13 months? So another year goes by, that's another 350,000. That's $700,000 in revenue that you've lost, and you, because you got free dirt. And when you got this free dirt from Kolb excavating, It wasn't a good deal for you because Kolb was going to have to pay to get rid of that dirt anyway. So you took that and you had no plan. You just took the dirt and put it down there with no idea. According to your releases from back when this started a year ago, here's what you said, that the parking lot was going to be closed for 1 week. The driving range was going to be closed for 3 months. And the city will keep residents informed through updates on its website, news releases, flyers, and postings at the golf course, ensuring transparency and addressing any concerns during the project duration. Now, none of that has been done. And I've talked to people at the golf course. I've talked to Mr. Rose, and I don't get any answers. How much money did you guys lose? I don't know. I was at the Parks Commission hearing back in May, and I said, well, this is closed down for a year. How much money are you guys out? What does the golf course generate or the driving range? And they said, they don't know. Well, why don't you know? So now we're 2 years down the road. What I'd like to know from the city, number one, I'd like to see this contract, and the idea that, you know, they didn't know about grading and erosion is a farce. They did. It's back in 2008. They knew it. And hole two and hole eight, they've got bioswales in there because they know about that. And so it looks to me like, and somebody tell me if I'm wrong, I don't know. This is what I've been told, that it looks like the city's going to be out about $700,000 in revenue because they couldn't do this properly in the first place. And now they're going to get it done properly for $71,000. So that's, you're down 630 grand. So that's my complaint, and I'm thrilled that this is being done. But I watch all these big buildings. We've got Avenir, we've got Costco, you've got Target, all this money, and you can't get this golf course fixed. I mean, I play golf all over. Tons of places have driving ranges that have, you know, down slopes with erosion issues. I've never seen anything like this in my life. And the retaining wall you put up a couple of years, that's trash too. That's down. So I don't know who's responsible. I just really want it fixed, but I don't think anybody realizes how much money you've lost as a result of this. And I think that the citizens would be flabbergasted. I could be wrong. This is what I'm told by the people that work there and run it. That's how much they're taking in, 30 to 40 grand a month, they say. I don't know. Somebody tell me. I asked the parks. They go, they don't even know. So that just doesn't seem like a very good way to run this city. And it seems like as a taxpayer, I'd be a little upset that it's going to, you know, we're out 700 grand for a $71,000 project. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other requests? I don't think we have any other requests to speak on this. You have before you the contract with Navigate for the driving range. There's been a motion and a second to move forward. Councilmember Collette, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose, you now have a Pershing Avenue project, I believe.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, this next item L3. With this agenda item, staff is requesting authorization to inform MoDOT that the base bid is the preferred option. This item does not award the contract. That item will be placed on a future agenda for awarding. I have the Public Works Director here to present this item and respond to any questions that you have. Ms. Kelly?
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Good evening, Mayor and Council Members. Pershing is a federally funded STP project. The bid opening was on August 5th. We had eight responsible bidders. And as a typical procedure, after the bid opening, we recalculate, review, and make the calculation to check if any miscalculations before we award any contract. After the calculations are reviewed and corrected, we prepare a bid tabulation with the corrected figures. So the amount you see on the actual bid proposal from the M&H contractors, it doesn't show the numbers that when we recalculated, they needed to be revised. The bid tabulation is included on the agenda packet.
Councilmember Brenner.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for answering my question. Now I understand the differences between the two numbers.
Thank you.
I do have one additional question. Actually, this was from Mr. McMahon, but he's not here right at the moment. With the process that we're going through right now with the Pershing, do we have any estimated start date to it? Now that we're at a point where I know MoDOT has to approve what we are suggesting, do we have a timeline after that and for a start date and maybe even a completion date?
upon the city council approval for the contractor and the selection of the material, we'll submit to MoDOT the concurrence in word for the this contractor, and will take maybe 2 to 4 weeks before MoDOT issue the or submit the response to our concurrence in word. After that, we'll have the pre-construction meeting and notice to proceed for the contractor.
So a construction start date for Pershing is when? Ballpark?
Sometimes end of September.
The 2026?
Yes, the Honorable Mayor and Council Members, the project is slated to start this calendar year.
Yes.
Do you know what month they can, is this going to be a winter project?
Will be a winter project, yes. Okay. Sometimes in October, the starting.
So October, November timeframe.
Yes.
Of this year.
Yes.
Pershing Avenue will start.
Pershing Avenue.
Pershing Avenue, yes.
Okay. Okay. Councilmember Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. And thank you, Director Salaj. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Sally.
Don't have a question about the Pershing project specifically, and this may be more a question for City Manager Rose. Notice the what I think is boilerplate language regarding the DBE, diverse business enterprise requirements. Yes. Associated with it. We have our number at 7%. Is that something, and I know I sent an email regarding this, but is that something we are tracking? I know we received the certified hours from our projects as a part of the contract, but do we track the participation goals being met for the vendors on these projects?
Honorable Mayor and Councilmember Clad asked for our finance director to come forward. One of the things that you requested was a report on how are all of our contracts performing as it relates to the MBWE criteria.
And certainly not looking for that this evening, and really I just want to understand more generally, are we tracking it? Do we see trends where our vendors are performing? I don't want to create a whole process, but just want to understand.
This is part of MoDOT's review. Once we forward for them to review the three lowest bid, they will check on the DBE goal, and if they fulfill those requirements, there are times that not necessarily all the DBE are part of their MoDOT list when they have to fulfill all the MoDOT requirements. But yes, we have to have all those DBE checked by MoDOT rules.
Thank you. And I'll follow up with the second part of my question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there other questions on this particular agenda item? Madam Clerk, do we have a motion yet? Is there a motion to approve the contract for Pershing Avenue project? Motion made by Councilmember Brenner and seconded by Councilmember Thiemann. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We'll now move forward to new business. We have resolution number 2025-09, a resolution amending the fiscal year budget, amendment number 3. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Councilmember Smotherson. Is there a second? Seconded by Councilmember Fuller. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We now have before us resolution 2025, a resolution for municipal park grant for Heman Park. Is there a motion to approve? Made by Councilmember Thiemann. Is there a second? Seconded by Councilmember Brenner. Is there a discussion? Councilmember Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. I believe this is an item that there are some comments, that citizen comments.
I have one request to speak on this matter, yes.
Okay, all right. Well, then I'll go ahead and speak on this. The resolution for municipal park grant, and that's Heman Park. And what I wanted to actually let my colleagues know is that this resolution is to spend $650,000 to improve the basketball court, to add a new feature, and that is a soccer pitch, and another new feature is pickleball courts. And one of the things that I wanted to address is let you know that Heman Park is different than any of our other parks. And what I mean by that is that there are a lot of different activities that are happening at Heman Park. And I would ask my colleagues to actually not approve this resolution as written, because there are other needs that actually need to be addressed at Heman Park, but there are other activities that happen at Heman Park. Two of those activities that happen at Heman Park that aren't being recognized by this resolution are Starlight Concerts and the U City Concert Bands. And one of the things that the Concert Band and Starlight Concerts have asked this for years, and that is a platform to play on, meaning that they don't have an amphitheater or a platform to play on. The U City Concert Band literally plays in the grass. Is where they play. That has eliminated some of the instrumentation that they usually have, simply because you can't roll it or push it through grass. And so again, you have Starlight Concerts that are happening, and Starlight Concerts are using an ancient and old stage that we bring in and out. And that stage is probably was done, or we bought it used in the 1980s. And that stage is not handicap compliant at all. So again, what this resolution isn't recognizing is the activities and the need of the park. Last thing that I will say is that, and why I'm asking that we do not approve this, is because the needs of the parks are, we have a gravel parking lot that has existed for decades. It has never been changed. Never been improved. We have telephone pillars that line the park. They are, probably half of them are rotted and or missing. And we've talked about this before, and this resolution isn't even recognizing that. So again, you have Heman Park that has some major activity that goes on that we're not recognizing by this resolution. And you've got the items that need to be addressed in reference to the update of Heman Park. And I think that's a major issue. And that's why I believe that this resolution shouldn't be approved, and it needs to be rewritten in addressing the activities and needs that are in Heman Park. Thank you.
We have one request to speak on this matter, Richard Massey.
Good evening, Richard Massey, 8200 Tulane. Your Councilman Smotherson has covered most of the key points. Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Now, yeah.
The biggest is the parking issue. We have visitors that are parking as far as Midland, down Olive. As I say, the pillars, there's some confusion of where to park. I think this is a big event for the community, and I think parking should be addressed, and also lighting. You know, we've had some lighting issues as it gets dark in the park. And, you know, the stage is just not ADA compliant. You know, that's a big issue. You know, most organizations, you know, they're very serious about that compliance. And, 1980 used, so you can imagine the issues we've had with that. And, but Councilman Smotherson has covered most of it. Thank you.
Additional questions? Councilmember Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe.
I certainly hear Councilman Smotherson's concerns, and I do recognize that our basketball courts that are covered in this resolution are in dire need of work, and so I'm hesitant to potentially delay that work being done by not approving this resolution. But what I would be supportive of is bringing these items back up, perhaps even as a budget amendment. And certainly I think we are slated to have, I believe, a strategy session, something of that sort, which I think would be an appropriate place to service this as well, because those are, Councilman Smotherson does bring up longstanding issues, but I don't want to necessarily delay, in particular the basketball courts and the things that are happening with those dollars to address them.
I guess my question would be, has this gone through the Parks Commission?
Mayor, I'd ask for Director Girdler to come forward and talk about the process. Mr. Girdler?
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Good evening, Mayor, City Council. Yes, this was discussed with the Parks Commission. We have some preliminary plans. This is a grant we get on an annual basis. I believe since its inception, we've been receiving it. It's about, it's typically $575,000, and we have a requirement to match part of that. I think it's 5%. And, you know, it, with any grant proposition or any grant proposition or resolution, you know, time is of the essence on this. I apologize, I didn't bring my entire folder to research when it's necessary to have this pass by, but I believe it's soon. So, you know, if we could, you know, resolve this matter, that would be great. Otherwise, we would need to either delay the approval or wait a year for another grant.
I guess a couple of questions. So these matters have gone through the Parks Commission, am I correct?
Yes, sir.
And when these matters went through, the people who spoke, whether it be Councilmember Smotherson or the citizens, did they come to the Park Commission and bring up the gravel parking lot, the telephone poles, the lights? I guess I'm trying to figure out, you know, we're kind of doing this at the last minute here. And if people went to the Parks Commission and said they had different priorities, then I get that they had different priorities. But coming here and saying we have different priorities when we just passed the budget, just so we just passed the budget, and no one made any requests that I know of to add to the budget for any of these projects that have been listed. We just passed the budget at the end of June. And if the gravel parking lot was an issue, we had a chance to amend the budget at that time. The same way with the lights, in the same way with the telephone poles. So I'm not sure I'm right with Councilmember Clay. I do not want to risk this grant by now changing horses at the last minute, when in fact my colleagues had the opportunity to put this in the budget prior to the end of the year, rather than putting this grant at risk. Councilmember Renner, do you have a question?
I was just going to ask, like, a lot of times grants have requirements or stipulations on what we use the money for. Does this one have particular requirements and stipulations that you know of?
Other than what's in the resolution, Councilmember, that it's towards the end of the resolution. Or no, it's item one, which talks about and a grant and aid for some or all costs to complete the Heman Park basketball court improvements, which include the redevelopment and construction of basketball courts, pickleball courts, and a miniature soccer pitch reimbursable by the Municipal Parks Commission upon completion by the city.
I guess what I was asking is, could you, maybe for future reference, could you use the grant for a parking lot? Could you, or is it, does it have to be athletic fields? Do you know what I mean? Like that?
Yeah.
It could be any.
I believe it's any park improvement.
Okay.
That's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Thank you.
And by the way, I do agree with Councilmember Smotherson on the debate. I'm going to say the wrong phrase. What is it? The bandstand. I call it the bandstand because we've had that same thing for the longest time. But I'm not sure that what I forgot what Mr. Clay's mom used to say. Don't let the perfect be the defeat of the good or something like that. When I count Rose Clay, but I know someone else. Councilmember Fuller. Nope. I'm done.
I don't know. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't know who to address this to. Could we possibly go ahead and pass this resolution with an amendment that speaks to this that we would address on the next period? Now, being an old rehab guy, I am totally, and I don't want to say appalled is the word, but maybe on the edge of being appalled that we are not ADA compliant in a municipal park when the ADA was passed in 82. And, you know, we've run our medical practice based on this, and we do all of our cuts in our streets and that sort of thing. How can we have a band shell that's not ADA compliant? I think that's somewhat of an urgent issue, personally. But my question remains, could we go ahead and pass a resolution for fear of not missing the grant with the fact that, and I don't want to kick it down the road for a year, but this is probably what we'll take, that we stipulate these other issues be addressed next grant period.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Fuller, if it is acceptable to you and your colleagues, one approach might simply be to approve this grant and then to forward a message to the Parks Commission to evaluate the priorities that were just stated, but also compare them against all the other priorities that you have for parks, and then provide the mayor and council with a report on how they would like to prioritize this list of projects. And that, I think, enables you to see the full breadth of the projects that are outstanding for all of the parks.
I'd be comfortable with that.
Councilmember Thiemann.
Yes, Honorable Mayor and my fellow council members, I think it would be a mistake to put this resolution on hold. There's just too much in here. But I do want to associate myself with the comments just made by our city manager that this should, these comments raised by my colleague, Mr. Smotherson, as well as Mr. Massey, are important and should be bundled perhaps under some other resolution, under some other bill. But I think it would be a mistake to do anything other than approve the resolution that's before us tonight.
Other questions or comments? Madam Clerk, we do have a motion and a second. Am I correct? Hearing no other discussion, all those in favor of the resolution, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll now move forward with bill number 9573. Who would like to introduce? Colleagues, who would like to introduce bill number? Councilmember Thiemann. Madam Clerk, may we have the first reading?
Bill 9573, an ordinance amending chapter 110 of the University City Municipal Code relating to administration by repealing section 110.040 thereof relating to the disclosure of conflicts of interest and enacting in lieu thereof a new section to be known as section 110.040, disclosure of conflicts of interest.
Thank you very much. We now have bill number 9574. Who would like to introduce? Councilmember Fuller. Madam Clerk, may we have the first reading?
Bill 9574, an ordinance approving a final plat for a minor subdivision of land at 7498 Delmar Boulevard.
Thank you very much. That concludes our new business for the evening. We now have council reports and business. Are there any reports from the commissions to which any of the council members are liaison that they'd like to make a report? If not, we will move to the other business and discussion, which was asked to be put on by council members Smotherson and Brenner, baseball fence at Heman Park.
Okay, and I'll get this started. Thank you, Mayor Crow. What I wanted to actually address is, and then now that we have some clarity, and I do appreciate the council considering my thoughts about the resolution, but what I want to understand is that I want you to understand this is about the Jack Buck baseball field. The council a couple of years ago voted to move the baseball field to Miller Park. Because of the flooding in 22, we agreed and voted to actually move that. One of the things that didn't happen was that the fencing for that baseball field was never moved. And so that's why I'm bringing this up for discussion and to vote, if possible, about moving the baseball fence, because it is a baseball fence, meaning that we decided to make that field, and the Parks Department made that field a softball field. But what's kind of ridiculous is, in looking at it, is you still have the extended baseball field attached to it. Now, what we were told is that they were waiting to use that for 6-on-6 soccer and or a dog walk. Well, I find it interesting that as of right now, in this council meeting, we just approved the resolution to put a soccer pitch over by the basketball court. So now having 6-on-6 soccer in that fenced in area that is still a baseball field or baseball fencing is not needed. So again, and the other part about a dog walk is what we were given. And that is, I don't know how anybody can use it when all of the gates are locked. All of the gates are padlocked. So there's no way to enter that gate area with your dog unless you throw your dog over the fence and then you yourself climb over the fence. So, I'm saying, as of today, I rode my bike and checked every gate, and every gate is padlocked. So again, all I'm simply asking this council to do is to just complete the process that the council voted on years ago. And that is to move the baseball fencing to take it down and or use it if we need it at Miller Park. And so, and that's where the baseball diamond is being established. So, and that's pretty much it, because it's been 3 years. We just recently finished fixing the fence just last month in July. It has been 3 years, and it is time to move forward with that process. Thank you.
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, this item was discussed by the council a few months back at least, and I would ask Director Girdler to come forward just to remind you of the recommendation that you received from the Parks Commission and the rationale behind that recommendation. Mr. Girdler.
Thank you, Mr. Rose, Mayor, City Council. The Parks Commission discussed this as the possibility, and we were going to bring this forward in the near future, as we discussed at a most recent Parks Commission, would be a grant request to Purina for the funding of anywhere from $15,000 to $25,000 dog park amenities, the ramps, the tubes and things like that. We haven't had a chance to bring that forward yet, but it has gone to Parks Commission, and Parks Commission has considered that and told us that if we get a grant from Purina, or to request that the city council authorize us to get that, to go forward with that grant. The other fence was Metcalf Park. Was there the backstops there? Was that the other question?
No, during the
council meeting, there was a question about backstops and then the fence here at Jack Buck Field. As you know, Jack Buck was redeveloped into a softball sized field, and it still remains Jack Buck Field to, and has not been moved to Miller Park at this time. This grant came about a few years ago, and we are just now finishing it up.
The grant to Ralston Perina or to
no, Clear? I'm sorry. The grant to reconstruct Miller Park baseball field.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Brenner.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for giving us that update. So have we evaluated the feasibility of having, one of my concerns is if we have dogs right there and we have a softball field playing, there could be some issues with balls going over, safety issues. Have we evaluated all that yet?
We have evaluated it to the point where staff and I have discussed it. Mm-hmm. And thought of things like, do we close that part of the park during a softball game? It would probably, in our estimation, be used more with a dog park that was enhanced than it is for softball right now. But we would have to reevaluate. We would be more than happy to reevaluate that for the city council and come with a report to the city manager that he could forward to you.
And just to follow up, do we know if we would even use that as a community?
If it would be, well, our dog park's very popular.
Okay.
Our existing one.
Councilmember Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I'm going to be transparent about something, perhaps to the scorn of some of those that I represent. I really never noticed this fence thing, to be honest with you. Would it be difficult to take it down? I'm going to be very transparent. This really isn't my issue, but I've talked with my council colleague about it. I mean, would it be difficult to take the fence down? Because it seems like the uses for it are very reliant on a number of things happening that are kind of speculative at best. And it seems like it might just be easier to take it down. But again, this is not my issue. And that's why there are seven of us, because there are things that are my issues that no one else really cares about. But that's why there are seven of us. So let me just ask that question. Is it difficult to remove?
You would clip the chain link from the posts and roll it up. And then removing the posts would be, because I believe they're in concrete, would be the only difficult thing if there was anything that difficult. And it can be pulled by you could use a tractor to pull those out of the ground. So yes, in short, the fence could be dismantled.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Okay, again, what I'd like people to understand is that about me, and I'll start this. I grew up in Heman Park. During my early years, I played baseball on the south side in that park. During my high school years, I played on that field, the very field that we're talking about, during my high school years. During my adult years, I played on the fields on the north side. What I'm trying to explain to you is that I care about what our parks look like. And right now, people don't have a clue what we're trying to do at Jack Buck Field, because you still have the baseball fencing that we approved, meaning we approved the baseball field to be moved to Miller Park. That should have included the fencing, because it's not needed. Now, what you have to understand is that we're over 3 years now since the flood. And we still are speculating about what to do with that area. It's time for that to be over and done. You're actually saying that if we do a dog park, people will be attracted to it. Well, I'm saying the same thing. If you complete the softball field, move the softball scoreboard, and make that attractive, it will attract
teams to play on that field. So again, you're still speculating and talking about a year. It's time to leave it alone, remove the fencing, and let's move forward. Because that's what the council voted to do, is put the ball field in Miller Park. And I know that may seem unimportant to other people, but it's absolutely important to me. And one of the things you have to understand is that, and Ms. and Councilmember Brenner kind of mentioned it too, it would be, it doesn't make any sense to close the dog park when you have a softball field, a softball game. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to even consider that. But what you should be considering is the safety aspect of it. If you've got a baseball game or softball game going on that field, there shouldn't be anybody walking dogs or playing soccer on the other side of that fence. So again, I'll leave it at that. And
I have to say at this point, I probably would say I agree with Council Member Clay. And this is not a hill I choose to go one way or the other on too much. I would say also I'm growing tired of having this issue come back over and over. I still believe, maybe I'm too much of a process person, that this is a conversation that belongs at the Parks Commission and not at City Council. But I also have to agree with Councilmember Smother. We've been talking about this thing for 3 years. I mean, and I'm not too, sounds like the grant may be a little bit speculative, I don't know. But my guess is if I looked at my colleagues and said, I bet we'd like to have this taken care of with great clarity by the end of the year. Some way, somehow, through the Parks Department and the Parks Commission, we'd like to have an up or down vote on something to do with Jack Buck Field, because I'm kind of tired of talking about it. And I think you guys are too. We've got more important things to do. So are you guys okay if we, at the Parks Department, Parks Commission, have a conversation, but by the end of the year, this is no longer on our agenda?
And I would accept that. Thank you, sir.
By the way, that was no motion. That was no nothing, but it's just kind of, let's move on to something else. We okay with that, everybody? I think there's a little bit of a consensus of nodding of heads. Okay. Thank you. Madam Clerk, do we have any more requests to speak? We're at citizen participation.
There are none.
Thank you very much. Are there any council comments this evening? Councilmember Thiemann.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor.
Hang on, John. I have no request to speak from anybody. I don't have a request to speak. Sir, where's the form? You're welcome to fill it out. We're a friendly bunch, we think. It was right over by the front door and you come in. How about we let the council member speak while you're filling out the form and then we'll come back to you. Is that okay? All right, Mr. Thiemann.
Honorable Mayor, thank you. I just wanted to take 1 minute, literally, and say concerning Pershing. My wife and I were going to the Muni the other day and to see La Caja fall. And as we driving out, she literally says to me, whatever you do, don't take Pershing. Now, when Phoebe speaks, John listens. And I suspect I'm hardly the only person who has said this prayer, how long, O Lord, how long? Is there no way, as we address the Pershing matter right now, that we can make some kind of plan so that this never happens again? I mean, this is inordinately long to pave a street. And, you know, we ended up going down Forsyth. It's not a big deal. It's not greatly inconvenient, but it is inconvenient. And it simply has gone on too long. It seems to me that somehow we should implement some kind of program or some kind of plan as we go through this process now, that this simply doesn't happen again. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. You want to wait? You want them to go or you want to go?
I'll let you.
Okay. Ms. Schumer, are you?
Suzanne Schumer, 7 Princeton Avenue. One quick note. I go to the dog park almost every day. It is woefully underused, and I don't quite know why, partly because it's not terribly attractive. And there has been, as far as I know, not one word of a request for a dog walk in any place. So it is not a popular place, partly because of how it's maintained, and who knows why. But there's no need for a dog walk that I see. I would like to very much double down on Wayne Smotherson's request for proper construction of something for the arts, and to look at all of the at Heeman Park. Thank you.
Thank you. Our last request to speak is Charles Price. If you'll please go to the microphone, give your name and address in 5 minutes.
Can I use them all in 5 minutes?
You can use it all.
Thank you, sir.
You can use it all.
Charles Price, 1565 Quindo Avenue. I represent the Raby Park Association and work in fellowship with these two handsome gentlemen here. My concern is that, first of all, I think, like Brother Smotherson here, we have an opportunity to take advantage of our parks. We have an opportunity to bring in safety for those who cannot walk and the handicapped. We also have an opportunity to have some competition with people like Forest Park because of the tornado that came in. And if we take this advantage of this and we start putting together things that will draw people to our activities, then I think it would be good. But I also understand that you should take care of what you have prepared and what's been built before you take on a whole nother project, because it's going to cost you a lot more money to now maintain everything. So right now, as you come into the park, we notice all those things, that those telephone poles. We also notice the basketball court and the parking and so forth and so on. And because you guys represent us, and now you hear it again, we'd like to take care of that. We want our place to look good. And then if we have the opportunity to bring pickleball and so forth and so on, bring it. But let's take care of the business that we have now before we start spending more of our tax money on stuff, you know, and dog walks and dog parks. I agree with this pretty young lady right here. There are things that we have that we can build into the arts and so forth and so on and be proud of. And if I can say again, what's really upsetting, because I'm a golfer, I grew up here, went to Mercy High School. We have a chance right now with, and I'm going to get on that Parks Commission with all that funding that goes on. If these grants are affordable to us and we get them every year, there should be an agenda and a checkoff list that says, hey, we're going to get this done, get this done, get this done. And we're going to use that money because we can expect it every year. And then the same thing is when our neighborhood associations, when we come here and we want to be represented by all you guys, we can say, yeah, we can see where our dollar's going. But this gentleman here said that we're losing $600,000. That is amazing, because my taxes don't change. And I want to make sure these guys look good and they're good to protect us. But if we kind of fumb dumbing around with the money now, you know, what else are we missing? So I'm a concerned citizen, and I brought my whole, most of them anyway, they took off my Raby Park Association here because we want to be more of an active voice in what goes on in our city. And we want to support you. And in turn, we want you to support us. And we really appreciate your job and what you guys have been doing. And we definitely appreciate what Mr. Smotherson said. He had no idea I was going to do this, but we need to take care of our business that we have in our parks now. And then we can invite the, what's that group? That English group that comes and they do all the plays outside in Forest Park.
Shakespeare in the Park.
We should have something like that, because our park could be ready to go now. We'll have all those opportunities. Thank you again. How much more time do I have?
Thank you very much. I would now welcome a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal actions, causes of action, litigation involving a public governmental body, and any confidential privileged communication between that governmental body or its representative attorney. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, Boyne. I'll hold up on that motion.
I'll be very quickly. I know that I've talked a long time. But anyway, I wanted to say one thing to Mr. Rose, but also to Chief Hampton, to Captain Lemons, and these officers here. Please note, they did an absolute great job for National Night Out. The police did an awesome job. I was there from the beginning and pretty much to the end, and the work that they put in to put that together, the way that they had to load sodas and hot dogs and buns, and I'm telling you, Captain Lemon, please pass that on to Chief Hampton. But again, thank you, sir, for allowing the police to participate in that regard. Thank you.
Okay, is there a motion as described as the words that I used? Motion made by Councilmember Clay. Is it seconded by Councilmember Fuller? Is there discussion? Hearing none. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll on going into closed session?
Councilmember Thiemann.
Aye.
Councilmember Brenner.
Aye.
Councilmember Fuller.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson. Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Mayor Crowe.
Aye. Thank you very much for joining us.